What is up, Smarks, Marks, and 9-to-5 jobbers? My name is Kevin.
This is Mike.
This is Andrew.
Nate Dogg in the house.
You are listening to the 5 Wise Marks.
Live from the Turner compound, we've got 1, 2, 3.
Hey, just shut up there for a minute, brother. We have 5.
Yeah.
Five time. Not Kevin.
No, Kevin's dead.
Who's that?
I think. So.
Did you hear we have 5?
Introduce yourself, brother.
We have friend of the show,
Aaron Hayes,
who didn't introduce himself.
I spoke
apparently,
for you.
Apparently, he's not a real person.
I'm his manager.
He is mute, brother.
We have a blow-up doll sitting in the chair here.
I'm Kenny Omega.
Kenny Omega just wrestled him to a 6-star match in Tokyo. All right, who the fuck are you?
Why are you so mean?
We have a fellow mark.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
Hey, will you tell us how big of a mark you are?
What's your background in wrestling?
And when did you get into wrestling?
Oh, God. 94, probably. Sting, 94. Hogan, 94. Yeah, that was
Sting. Sting.
Really,
94 WCW.
Yeah.
All right. Sting and the Prisoner. All right.
Y'all have an idea at this point.
Man,
but really
Sting.
What drew me in was probably 96, 97, Bret Hart, Hogan. And then fucking, you know, once Hogan switched to NWO, then I went straight WWF. Fucking Bret Hart, Stone Cold.
Hey, watch your fucks. All right.
Yeah, only Maynard.
This is a family show.
Well, we got Somalian friendlies.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Only Maynard gets to use that word.
Well, goddamn. All right. Well, motherfucker, listen here. Well, anyways,
what I just say.
That's about it. Yeah.
We have broken our 5 here, wise
basically,
virginity
let me tell you, this is what I think wrestling is.
Not
Bret
Nate's
Hart,
virginity, though.
Bret Hart, Chris Benoit, Stone Cold, those are that's wrestling. That's professional wrestling right there.
Who'd you say? Whoa. There's
Bret
a name
Hart,
redacted in there.
We have a name redacted and Chris.
Who?
Chris Benoit.
Benoit.
Oh, Stevie Richards.
Okay. He didn't do it.
Did you know?
He did not do it.
No.
That's true. I think that right there, that's professional wrestling.
It was never proven.
And there was no evidence.
And
no proof.
So, what we're going to do today is single-handedly, with 5 of us, because that makes sense.
That's
weird.
It's all going a single hand.
To fix the WWE machine.
Calm down there, Chief.
All on our own. In a basement.
Oh.
Compound.
Got one answer that'll
like
fix it all.
Midnight. At midnight.
It is August 2nd.
It is.
We got here yesterday.
This
midnight
will be,
is
this
part
will
of
be
my
posted
answer
October
14th. You can fix this whole problem. Midnight.
But it's recorded in August.
All right, we're talking over each other, pal.
We're going to fix the WWE, and we got a top 5 greatest masked wrestlers of all time.
Great top 5.
Great top
5. I like
five.
It.
Great top
5. Introduced by
who?
Who
came up with that top 5?
The big A over here, Andrew Turner.
No, he didn't.
Oh, I'm
it
sorry.
It was Kevin
Nate
Meadows, because he contributes so much to the podcast.
Who
the fuck is Kevin?
By the way, he doesn't like he doesn't like
my favorite match
every
coming
single
out,
time.
Right me out.
Oh, you didn't know?
Oh, you didn't know?
You asked about a call.
You didn't know?
You better call Saul.
You damn right.
And in the background tonight, we
Your
do have Unforgiven 98.
Saul.
Yes. Well, what
just
I want to
beautiful.
Start with is, Jay Maynard, you said we wouldn't like this answer. Let's start with that. How do you fix the WWE?
Sorry, but you don't make millions, do you?
Hey, we don't.
Do you?
We don't. So what's your ultimate?
I make money
solution?
For this company. What the fuck do you do?
I have fucking no answers to your guys' goddamn problem.
I do hate that answer.
Well, okay, let's put it this
I'm
way.
I'm sorry, y'all making money?
How do you reverse the decline in viewership?
Well, you know what? What's happening right now?
Because they have the TV contract, so the money is going to keep coming in.
Yes.
But when the next renewal comes through with the ratings down, even pre-COVID, how do we get it to a point where they can get that next TV contract?
Even though you say pre-COVID, COVID is a very,
is.
Very, very big problem right
but
now.
Even
got,
look at
that's
the
a fact. That's got to be a fact.
You know, it,
but
it,
even look
no,
at the 2019
no,
ratings.
It, shut your balls before I kill you.
I'm just saying.
It's going to be
know
good,
what?
Boys.
As much as it was down, it's still... You know what? I don't even know how to word this goddamn shit.
That's great. We got it all night.
Yeah.
People will watch
obviously,
what's on
TV.
Obviously,
the live viewership, as in the attendance, is down.
To zero.
Well, for
but
very
before
obvious
that, before
reasons.
That, even, it was
first
down.
Show should be in Detroit, by the way. Make up for lost time.
Yeah.
No. The SmackDown tickets.
The TV portion of it, though, is down. I'm going to be honest. It's because of, I mean, virtually mental illness at this point. You know what I'm saying? No one's happy. No one wants to do anything positive. They don't want to.
Okay.
You know, it's. I see it everywhere.
But I'm saying, even before this, like going back to 2019, early 2020, pre-shutdowns, pre-no crowds, ratings have been consistently going down since like 2010.
Yeah, but
so
it wasn't good.
How do we reverse
it
that
wasn't
trend?
Keep it there.
But how do we reverse that trend and get back to its height?
Can I jump
that's
in?
That's your guys' talk.
Can I jump in real quick?
Hey, first statement. Let's go.
I think three.
Just keep talking.
They got 3 hours, and that's just too long.
That's huge. Yes.
I think that's the first problem. I think that's just the first problem. 3 hours is too long.
3 hour Raw, 2 hour NXT, 2 hour SmackDown every week.
Just too much.
Overexposure.
And then you got all the network shows.
Yes, and that they want you to watch.
I think when I look back at what I liked in wrestling, it was an hour-long show. It was straight wrestling. You maybe had, you know, you had maybe fucking 10 minutes of promos between the whole hour. You had maybe 2-3 promos between, you know, guys that were split up between times, you know, and then you had just wrestling.
And each person could shine on a different show because not everybody was jammed all in
exactly.
one show.
Yeah. And they weren't going over on guys who were technically roster guys. Or
not often.
Yeah. Not often. It was more or less, it was jobber guys, guys who were there to collect like a paycheck to go there and work.
It's like superstars and challenge.
Exactly. And I feel like that's what got guys over. And too much TV is just too much for
people. It's an overexposure.
It's over.
I mean, I think they're suffering the same issues that WCW did when their Nitro went to 3 hours, and then they brought in Thunder for another 2 hours.
Yep.
And even with a gigantic roster, WWE has a gigantic roster now, WCW had a gigantic roster then, there's just too much going on, nobody seems to stick out, nobody seems to shine.
And it's like I said last weekend with Turner when we were golfing, Attitude Era, it was great. You know why it was great? Because they hot-shotted the whole era. They did everything right then in 3 years. All right, let's do this, let's do this. We're going to have a guy go undefeated. Bill Goldberg, we're going to have him go undefeated for... you know, however many matches.
Year and a half.
But
they did too much too quick. And that's why it was great. And you can't just do
Maynard's
too
ready
much.
Shoot.
In all seriousness, how much did we all want to bang Sonny in 98?
I have been jerking off since we started.
That's why he hasn't been talking. You just hear the background.
Oh, my God. I let Nate know. I said, LOD 2000 in 98. I'm 2 years coming early, Lisa.
Yeah. And right there, that bump that Billy Gunn just took, I forget.
Ooh,
there was a new
nice
worker
bump.
Who just did that bump.
Ooh,
that was nice AEW, and he went off the ropes, and it looked stupid. He didn't go off the ropes. He just went for a clothesline, clearly missed. He didn't make it a spot. He got up, and it looked good. That right there, that bump
Sonny
that Billy Gunn
an
just
underrated
took.
Valet slash
Why don't we tell him what we're watching right now?
We're watching LOD 2000 versus New Age Outlaws, Unforgiven 98.
One of the best pay-per-views.
And Billy Gunn just did a great spot where he went for a clothesline, missed the clothesline. He didn't go into the ropes, and he didn't no-sell it. He missed the clothesline, got up, and then just got clotheslined by Animal.
That
was
in WrestleMania 14. That was a month earlier than this.
Well, they had that tag team battle royale at the beginning.
Yeah, Mania 14 was not that great.
But this was. This should have been Mania, basically, is what we're saying.
Wow, we just went on a deluge there, boys.
Yeah, so...
back to creative.
What can we do to... Even if we're trying to say Maynard's got it from the money aspect, he's right. You think about it, the news broke, I think, yesterday. This is actually the highest profitability quarter the WWE's ever had.
Yeah.
As crazy as it is, with no live attendance.
In the second quarter?
With no live attendance. That's insane to think about.
Yeah.
But it's true.
Well, so you got they're not using the travel expenses.
Yeah, the expenses are way down.
That helps a big time.
Most people pay for their own travel expenses.
But the trucks and the crew.
Yeah. Moving the whole production set, that whole thing.
Yeah.
That's way down. But how about creatively? What are we trying to do to turn the WWE around into a more watchable product? Because I think it's a pretty big consensus in the wrestling community that 2020 WWE... is not a great product.
Another thing too, I mean,
there's two good things about it.
Shut up, Nate. Let our guests talk. Damn it.
I just want to say another thing I want to throw out too was like,
fuck you, Mike.
It's the scriptness. Like a thing I like about AEW is like guys like MJF who go out there with no script and they just cut a promo, and it's real because it's them not going out there with a script and they're just actually saying what they feel about the wrestling world.
They may
the
have
business.
They may have bullet points.
Maybe they may have bullet points, but it's not like they're reading. Okay, I got to memorize this. I got to remember.
There's no teleprompter.
It's not like a play or something.
Exactly. It's
Maynard,
not a play,
how would you feel
movie.
If somebody just handed you a 2-page script and said, "This is what you're saying."
Like, and make it as real as possible. And you can't because it's not from you.
Exactly.
But try. Yeah. Act it out.
Yeah. Even but you're not a Shakespearean actor. You didn't go to Broadway. You don't
it's not
have
my
that.
Character.
That's
not
you went to school to be a fucking wrestler. You didn't go to school to be an actor.
They look at Jay Maynard and go, you know what? You're actually Steve Johnson and you're a hot dog salesman. And go out there and get over.
You're Sell wieners. You're Kobayashi.
This to me is acting, not wrestling.
You're Joey Chestnut.
And that's another reason why I think wrestling
hot dogs
over.
In a single go.
I feel like wrestling, they got away from like, hey, we're this entertainment wrestling as we're entertainment.
Yeah.
We're not a sport entertainment. We're entertainment business.
We're not sports entertainment. We're just entertainment.
Exactly.
Pal.
Yes.
Who decided that?
Yeah, Kevin Dunn. Well,
fuck that motherfucker.
In the old days, it used to be if you were a wrestler. And you couldn't get over, you got pushed to the side.
Yep.
Period. You had to get yourself over.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it doesn't matter whether you get yourself over or not. It's whoever Vince chooses and just says, here you go. Here's the script. Like, used to be, if you couldn't come up with a great promo or great catchphrase or great ideas or you couldn't make your matches appeal to the crowd, nothing else you did mattered. I mean, you look at it, you would have a guy like Tom McGee, who actually was a Vince-chosen guy, but he didn't have it. He just didn't have it, so he never got the push.
Just with the right guy, he had it, you know?
Yeah. And then Lex Luger, even in the Fed, like, he's a guy who had a pretty decent career, but in the Fed, it didn't click. So you know what? He got pushed to the side, and the next guy got brought up, which ended up being Diesel eventually.
Yeah.
But you see, like, you had to have something to get yourself over. And if you couldn't, you find a different wrestler. Now it's just, this is what you got to do, pal. It's good shit.
I want him and only him.
Yeah. And I hate to like keep pounding on Roman Reigns. I think Roman Reigns is a really good wrestler.
He's fine. I like Roman.
But the Roman Reigns character sucks.
Yes.
Because it's micromanaged, overproduced. Yes. I mean, by all accounts, the actual guy... Is a really funny guy, really charismatic guy.
He's not bad.
Very well liked.
Yep.
Yeah.
But you don't see that on TV.
Here's another thing, too, I think why WWE is fallen. Vince doesn't believe in managers. There's guys like Roman Reigns who really, they're not good on the mic. There's guys like Seth Rollins who are good on the mic, who should have the mic. They need a guy like a Paul Heyman. And, you know, maybe not
or
so
Alexa
much.
Or Alexa Bliss.
Yeah. Alexa Bliss would be a great manager. They need more managers.
And they have Zelina Vega, and they criminally underuse her right now.
Yes.
I feel like her would be better putting her with the luchadors, the luchas. Well, because she's also a Spanish speaker.
Yeah, with Andrade. Yeah,
exactly.
Andrade
and it's perfect.
And,
I feel like her role is doing good right now because she's with Andrade. Yeah. She's Spanish. She's a, well, I'm Mexican. I don't.
She's Dominican.
She's Dominican. Yeah. She's Latino.
She's Latino.
She's Latino. Yeah. And she can speak Spanish, so I feel like that's perfect. Put her with. Get some, you know, these luchadors and put her with them and have her cut the promos for them and let them do their work in the ring because that's
now
what they're better at. Because
Andrade can go, Garza can go.
And Andrade can't speak English and that's not... I'm not sure yet, not well. And that's not going to go over well with the American crowd.
But
so you
being
need
like
someone
the
who
silent,
can.
Kind of silent killer with her, it's worked. Yeah.
And I feel like a guy like, you know, someone like Bill Goldberg back in the day, is a perfect example. Even though he didn't have the manager, someone like him, he didn't need it because he would get in the mic. You're not, you know, call up the guy. You're next. That's good.
Didn't even need to do that.
Didn't even need to do that. But someone like him, who's just a powerhouse, I feel like someone like that, like a Roman Reigns, like a Brock Lesnar, they need They need a guy like that, like a manager.
Where would Brock Lesnar be if he never had Paul Heyman?
Exactly. Yeah. Look People at his, first, like, his oh, first run in 03, what, 03, 04? He had Paul Heyman. And then he turned on Paul Heyman. And then, you know, now he's got Paul.
And that's when the fans turned on him.
Exactly.
Not even just as like, oh, we're turning you because you're heel. He was actually babyface for most of that. But the fans kind of like, oh, we're not, we're, you know, you don't have that it factor anymore.
Yeah. Right. And that's the problem. Hey, I could chime in for a second.
Go ahead.
They don't listen to the fans.
What?
What?
Say that again.
They don't listen to the fans.
Are there any
fans? I thought they said they wanted to. They were going to listen.
Yeah, they rebooted it 2 years ago.
But, yeah, right. But
I'm sorry.
We're in the COVID era right now.
Well, even before that, like you said, 2 years ago, they came out in Raw and they said, we want to start over. We want to listen to you, the fans.
I was still watching back then, by the way. I don't watch
anymore. I was too.
I want to put that out there. I don't watch WWE.
So this predates the whole COVID era where there's no fans. But they're still not doing it. You know, when we say we don't like Roman Reigns, it's us telling them that we want him to turn heel, to hate him, so we can love him eventually.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We can't miss you if you don't, which actually right now, I think the best thing that happened to Roman Reigns is the fact that he's going away for a while.
Yeah.
Yes.
Is to go away.
I agree.
And so when he eventually comes back, I hope they don't take that misstep.
Need, honestly, save Roman for a crowd.
Well, and give him a different entrance music, give him a different look. Stop
That's
with the shield.
Too, yeah. And we talked about
no
this.
More,
yeah,
I saw no some more picture. Shield gear.
Yeah. I saw him in pictures. He's in fucking great shape right
no
now.
No more shield gear. No
give
more
him,
shield
give
gear.
Give him trunks. Give him
That's
pick, whatever.
That's the thing Turner talked about. He kept the shield gear. He kept the shield music.
He can keep
he
the,
didn't
the
get his
pants.
Own thing.
Just
lose
yeah,
the
you know,
shield.
Yeah, leave, lose the
yeah,
fucking
no, he, no, I saw pictures. He's in great shape right now.
Yeah, which is why Vince has always loved him.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, no. I will admit, no. I do think, I know he had leukemia, but I think when they sent him away with the leukemia, I do think that was a work to try and get him over. I really do, because...
The timing of him coming back was pretty coincidental. Right
exactly. I mean, yeah. Listen, you have leukemia, and within less than 6 months, you're in remission. I understand, like, yeah, leukemia is probably one of the least controversial cancers you can get. Yeah.
Still,
it's one,
still bad.
It's still bad, but it's one of the ones that you can take care of, but less than 6 months and you're in remission, yeah. That right there, I was like, this was a work to make him a baby face. And I understand, like,
I
hey,
that.
That's a bad, it's bad to say. Listen, but hey, he did have it at one point. It's a work.
Twice.
It yeah. cost him the NFL.
It cost me the NFL, and it's a work, but it's technically the truth. I think then they were working it as a shoot work, but he didn't have it then.
But then talking about not capitalizing on it because they made him exactly the same person all over again.
Yeah.
Like I
and
actually,
he did get over when he came back. He did. More
dude,
they even
I,
got
I,
over
I popped for that promo.
But it lasted for a couple weeks.
Yeah, exactly.
Whereas I said right on this podcast what they should have done is they should have completely rebooked him. And I said I would have brought him out under his real name, Joe Anoa'i, and he should have came out and said, you know, last 3 years, I've done everything here. Vince McMahon wanted me to do. I've done everything the WWE's wanted me to do. I've gone to every press junket. I've been to everyone. I've done everything they wanted me to do because that's what Vince McMahon told me would make me the biggest star in this company. But I've learned something these last 6 months. Life is short, and you can't work for Vince McMahon. You got to work for you. You got to be you. Roman Reigns isn't me. I'm Joe Anoa'i, and I'm here to kick some ass.
That's good.
Boom.
Make money.
Bike drop. Let's go.
My wife and my
over,
daughter.
Over.
That's it. That's what he needs to work for. My wife and my daughter. I don't give a shit about anybody else.
I got another thing, too, that they should have done also that they didn't do. This was a misstep, and I don't know how much of this is true, but I heard that they didn't go on this because of a criminal record, but they should have brought in Jacob Fatu.
That talk about a guy that
you want to talk about talent.
Been a kick-ass enforcer.
Jacob Fatu is a talent. I've seen him work 2 matches. That's it.
I've seen him
tell you right
put
now,
a bit on MLW.
I'm a fan.
Yeah.
I'm
he
just
signed a 5-year deal.
Yeah, he signed a 5-year deal.
Court with Bauer.
I texted him after his first match. I texted Turner after the first match I seen. I said, have you seen Jacob Fatu? He's like, I think I seen a match. I watched another match after that. I was like, you got to watch more of this guy. They should have signed him, and they should have had – I heard Jim Cornette say this, so I'm not going to take credit for this.
Yeah,
they
should have
signed
podcast.
Him, and they should have said – first of all, this is why they didn't sign him. What I heard was because he had a criminal background.
Like I said, some assault.
Once again, yeah. Booker T has a like criminal record.
Heaven forbid a Samoans assaulted someone in the wrestling business.
He's a Tonga kid's kid, right?
Yeah. I think the Roman Reigns is the only Samoan who hasn't had a criminal record in the
exactly.
Like, the Usos are there right now. They're driving drunk right now.
Yeah.
In Detroit.
Yeah. Here's what I would have done. I would have signed him and I would have booked him with Roman Reigns. And been like, you guys, him and the Usos, you turned your back on me. I went out, you know, I was living my life. You guys went out, had this career. I was in jail. You turned your back on me.
He could be the nails to Roman Reigns' big boss man.
Yeah.
I'll pop it.
I did my time in jail. I'm here. I'm the best athlete in this family. Let's go. Me and you right now.
He's like a new Umaga.
You guys all turn your back on me. Umaga, you guys all turn your back on me. I'll take all three of you on right now. My cousins, my family, right now. Should have had him squash all three of them, and guess what? They could have worked, the Usos at least, and him and Roman could have worked at least a three-match program, and you probably could have put Roman over.
Imagine that is like
and I would put Roman
like
over.
Like a semi-main, like, Mania push.
Exactly.
Yeah. Keep it out of the world title.
You can do it within a year. First Mania match, you have those two. SummerSlam, work them again, and then the next Mania. Unless you want to do three Manias with those guys, which is possible, Rock and Austin
did. Or you could always do, like, Rumble, Mania, SummerSlam.
Exactly. And you don't, there's the thing with these two. You don't need a title match because there's a family.
Blood feud.
There's a blood feud. Exactly. Blood, it's a blood feud between these two. And I feel like that right there is where they dropped the ball to Roman Reigns. You didn't sign Jacob Fatu. You let him go to a indie promotion for 5 years.
Yeah.
That's bullshit.
And you could still, I mean, hypothetically, if you ever come to your senses, you could buy out that contract.
Court
Barrow here. Here's however much.
I've heard Brian Lance say, you know, those MLW contracts, they're easily to get out. Because, you know, especially with WWE, they'll buy it out. No problem.
Court
Barrow is not a major, he's not running a major program. Yeah, you give him a couple $100,000. Here you go. Have this guy. No problem. Yeah. Guess what? I'm going to pay this guy, and I'm getting free money.
Say,
Maynard, are you playing golf over there?
I feel like...
Yeah. whatever.
I do feel like that's how you... I feel like that right there is how you get Roman Reigns over.
So say you are the dictator. You're the dictator of WWE. You can change anything you want right now. Maynard, I'll start with you since you're a little bored here. Who do you make your face of your company?
Right now?
Right now.
Seth Rollins.
All right.
Aaron?
You make your face to your company.
In WWE?
Yep. Doesn't mean you can, whatever, you're WWE, you have an unlimited budget, you can sign anybody in the world.
Anybody.
Anybody in the world.
Anybody in the world. Even if they're signed to a company right now, if I want to buy out their contract.
How much, you have unlimited funds.
Let me tell you
right
now, the best guy in wrestling right now is MJF.
That's, I would agree with that.
Yeah. 100%, I would buy out his contract to AEW, and I'd be like, listen, we're going to shoot you to the moon, you're going to be our biggest heel. You say what you want, we're not going to book your, we're not going to tell you what to say in your promos. You do it because you clearly can get enough heat
Here's three bullet points I want you to hit. Go.
Yep.
Go.
Exactly.
This and you got this. You got 4 minutes, go.
There's three bulletin points, you fucking... You take your point.
MJF, I'll give him 10.
Take him up. Exactly. Yeah. There you go. All right. Do your thing.
Not great choice in MJF. I would settle on, not settle on, but I would go AJ Styles.
That's a great pick, too.
Because he's been in the, he's been in WWE since Rumble 16.
Yeah, 4.5 years.
Cutting some pretty damn good promos for the most part.
Imagine if you would have said...
Especially AJ's not a promo guy.
Imagine if you would have said in 2005, AJ Styles is one of the best promos in the WWE.
And that's a funny thing, because he was cutting his best promos against Cena in 16. Late 16.
But that's the thing. Remember back like when TNA first started, I was telling you about this AJ Styles guy who was going against Sting.
Right.
And even back then, I didn't really know TNA. I just knew Sting was in TNA.
This is probably, 06?
Yeah, probably about 06. And I was telling him, like, you got to see this AJ Styles guy. Like, he's got the short hair. Like, he's going to be the future of this company. Little did we know he's going to be the future of WWE, too.
WWE champion.
Yeah. MJF's a great pick. He said Rollins. Yeah. You can't go wrong with Rollins. Even though his gimmick choices are
Rollins has had some up and down.
But he can work He can work inside the squared circle.
I feel like...
For me, I would stick within WWE, and I would say AJ Styles for that.
In the company, Drew McIntyre. Out of the company, MJF.
Okay.
If I had to stick in the company, I would stick with Drew McIntyre, too. Yep.
Imagine him with a crowd. It sucks. I feel bad for him.
Drew got fucked.
I just hope he hasn't lost all momentum by the time.
I feel like his match with Brock would have been a lot better in front of
the
crowd.
Oh, my. Imagine the crowd popping.
Oh, yeah.
That's another thing, too, about this new modern day thing is a lot of the stuff, like him with his claymore, he's sitting there in the corner kind of just waiting.
There's no.
Yeah, you gotta wait for the guy to get up. I understand. So you're building.
But usually the crowd's kind of coming with you.
That crescendo.
So during this time, I feel like you gotta go right into it. You can't just wait. You gotta go into your moves. You gotta be explosive.
Working for TV. Don't worry about the stuff you normally do.
You can't build to a crowd because there is no crowd. Yeah. We are the crowd on TV.
Well, so I'm gonna go ahead, and I think there's a lot of great picks. I don't want to take any of your picks, so I'm gonna go with something totally different.
Sasha Banks.
Of course it's Sasha. That should be the face of your company. She should have been for the last 4 years.
Well,
and it's not a bad pick.
No, it's not.
So talk about somebody that has the marketability factor. Yes. She looks like all of the rappers that are making, I mean, the Nicki Minaj's,
the Cardi B.
Right. Like she's got the look.
And she's related to Snoop.
She's related to Snoop Dogg.
And she can work.
She's done. She can. Hell of a wrestler, but she's done crossovers on MTV.
Yeah.
She's done, you know, all these appearances elsewhere, and she's done BET red carpets. And like, so
and that appeals to like that charisma that she has.
And not to mention, young, especially young African Americans, have always been a strong wrestling crowd that really, for a while, hasn't had a lot to look forward to. And so you have a different demographic you can appeal to. WWE's always been very conscious of the Hispanic demographic. But, like, there's another demographic you're going to try to appeal to, you know, by pushing someone else. And right now, unfortunately, no crowd. She's finally getting a really strong, the first real heel push she's ever had in the main roster.
In 5 years.
Yeah, and even then, it feels like the title run isn't going to last very long because... there seem to be setting up eventually Bayley Sasha going, and that's probably going to be on SmackDown. Sasha can't hold the Raw title forever. It seems like she's going to at least make it past SummerSlam since they're setting up a tag match. It seems like, if social media is anything to go by, because there's a lot of weird teasing there. That's who you should be pushing as your main event. And the thing is, more than ever, women are getting a lot of attention in social media, a lot of attention in entertainment in general.
Right.
Becky Lynch had a huge breakout year. You have to set up people to be ready for when she comes back. I'm assuming she's coming back. And yeah, you have Charlotte. Yeah, you're always going to have Charlotte. Is. But quite frankly, I don't want to derail this, but Charlotte's the least over of that group.
Because she's so overexposed.
Exactly. Yeah. Because she's a flair. I feel like that's why she also gets a little... She's a second generation is where the rest of them... They're the first generation. They're not the second. They didn't get shit handed to them. Yeah, you know?
But when you listen to like crowds when Charlotte comes out, even as a babyface, the fans are just like, eh. And she has some great matches. Charlotte,
I think she's had some of the
Charlotte probably has as far as amount.
I think
of quality matches, she probably has the most of any woman in the Fed, just because she's had the most opportunities.
Yeah, exactly.
I would say her average matches are probably lower than Sasha or Bayley, maybe a little ahead of Becky. I love Becky, but wrestling isn't quite her thing.
Yeah,
like it's not her shining,
but charisma is.
Yeah. But
Bayley is a wrestler, and Becky is.
Whereas Becky, though, but
she's a better thing promo. With her.
It's not like Becky's bad,
but when you put Becky in a spotlight with a great talent, she gets the most out of it because. Straight up, that match with Charlotte at Evolution was fantastic.
Yes.
That's probably my favorite Charlotte match of all time.
I love that match.
Honestly, I like Hell in a Cell, Charlotte, and Sasha. I thought that was a great match.
The finish sucked!
The finish sucked.
And I love Sasha.
The whole
Banks.
Match was great.
But that match was
you
great.
I thought the whole match was great. I mean,
what
it's
we
just
have to
like
do is we got to get you to watch Becky, Sasha, Hell in a Cell because that's better.
And
I was going to say,
oh, yes, 100%.
I love the women's wrestling. I'll watch it. I just hate watching modern day WWE.
Anything. Like I said, if we watch Hell in a Cell 2018, we're watching the first match and we're cutting it off.
You tell me a match to watch. It's downhill from there. You tell me a match from the women's division of modern day, anything post 2014, I'll watch it.
Oh, yeah.
I have no problem.
But
it's just I cannot sit there and watch a whole show.
To me, I think if you switch that match, to be the main event of Hell in a Cell 2019, that show that got crapped on becomes better just by match order. Putting that on last
match order is key.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
What's the last thing we remember?
the last match.
Exactly.
The
fuck finish.
Exactly. Yeah, which, yeah, that was awful.
And that's why these Attitude
Era shows. And we shot so
that's
hard
why these Attitude Era shows get praised. Because they remember the Austin main events and not the shit mid. Not the shit.
They remember the Austin getting the huge pop at the end of the show because he stands on top with Vince or whoever, showering beer in the middle of the ring.
I literally just listened to
and not remember Jarrett and Steve Blackman.
Let's not get into a Blackman talk because some of us are going to throw a fit.
Maynard.
There's a big thing we haven't talked about with fixing the WWE, and I hate to say it because this guy's one of the greatest heels in the history of wrestling. He built this empire from a pretty strong territory company into the global media empire it is today. And
Kevin Dunn.
His partner.
There's the elephant in the room of has Vince McMahon lost his fucking mind?
Absolutely.
The short answer is yes.
What do you do about it? Because you can't say, nothing. Vince, you don't know how to make money, because Vince knows how to make money.
But
at the same time,
as much as he is portrayed as a genius in making these
how great much more
moves,
money could you have made had the product been better?
Yeah. These last 10, 12, 14 years, as much as he has been, you know, portrayed as a genius, he has dropped the ball. Equally.
I think it will only fall on him squarely. I think he's the reason for it, though. He brought wrestling out of the kayfabe. He made wrestling this.
I'm not even opposed to that.
Dr. D's going to slap you for that.
Well, I'm not even opposed to that.
Yeah, I mean, you look at what Vince did. He's gone on Casas and just talked about wrestling and how it's scripted and all that.
I mean, just the network specials alone.
Exactly.
Yeah. Like, stuff that's in there, 30 New Jersey years ago, would have been like
the curtain call itself. Curtain call. That's nothing. Honestly, that's nothing because no one's seen it. But
a very small percentage of internet fans.
But then, and then he punishes one guy, and then he goes out and does all this stuff because he tries to get into New Jersey. He tries to get in, you know, so we can get
the Athletic Commission. Yeah.
We get the Athletic Commission, New Jersey. It's a work. It's not real. It's fake. And you know, it's like really, man. Like you're selling out your business to make money, and that right there. The old school guys wouldn't do that. They'd be content with what they're making and rather have people believe that it's real.
But he always wanted to cross over and be mainstream.
Exactly. And
which
feel
he
like
had a couple
wrong.
Years of it, you know, 98, 99, 2000.
And that's where I came in and said, you know, they hotshot of the business, that Attitude Era. They hotshot of the business.
And we're still living with the hangover.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't think we'll ever get over it. I don't think we'll ever get over it. I don't think the business will ever be as big as it once was.
You can't forget.
No, it will not.
No.
Not mainstream. It will not.
No. I think right now, we're stuck with what we're going to get.
Right now, it's a big niche.
But you can get more fans than they're currently. And even 2019, you know, Raw was getting 2.2, whereas 3 years ago, it was getting 3.5. Like, there's been a lot of fans that have been drawn away. And we see that there's, you know, roughly 600,000 to 800,000 real indie mark fans that love AEW. Because they have a pretty tight window of where their ratings have been.
So 650 to 850, basically.
650 to 850.
Yeah,
that's it. That's their you know, people. But clearly, there's more that watch Raw. Even though Raw is like the most unwatchable show in the history of wrestling, I don't understand it. But those fans exist.
Loyalty.
But how do we get back to three times that? You're never going to get 9 million again. But
you're never going to get the This Is For Your Life Rock.
I think a lot of those ratings, too, are also kind of a mix. Like, they would do 15-minute intervals. So, like, I feel like...
Flip back and forth.
I think, yeah, exactly. I think it's a bunch of flipping back and forth. I don't think there was 4 million watching Nitro and 4 million were watching Raw. I think it was a mix between those 4 million were watching going back and forth. I think you're looking at roughly 4 million wrestling fans were watching wrestling, and it was going back and forth.
Well, I mean,
I can see that.
But the way the Nielsen ratings work, though, is over the course of it, I mean, nobody, like, completely ever dropped down. So there was at least probably 7 to 8 million viewers split between them. And, like, say, 98 was probably the peak because both of them were still up. Whereas 99, yes, Raw got way higher, but SmackDown dropped. I mean, not SmackDown. Sorry, Nitro dropped so far off.
Right.
The total viewers was higher in 98, but I mean, a lot of those traditional Southern WCW fans never came back.
Exactly.
Because they wanted to believe it was real. They knew New York wasn't. Mm-hmm. And then when WCW became New York, they just left and never came back.
Exactly.
Yeah. Period.
I want to add a couple things.
Go ahead.
Number one, something we haven't even discussed is since the advent of the Attitude Era and the competition with WCW, is they still do monthly pay-per-views.
I think that's
that is a detriment anymore.
I agree.
You don't have enough time to build credible matches, credible storylines, and angles to make you want to watch just exactly what's going to happen.
It feels like you have the same matches over and over and over and over and over and over.
You only have 3-4 weeks. You only have 3-4 weeks.
How many Drew McIntyre, Dolph Ziggler matches?
Remember, like
too many.
Remember, like 2 or 3 years ago, they were saying they were going to have a pay per view for SmackDown and Raw each month,
and then they combined them again,
and they realized this is just too much, and they quit doing it. I will agree.
Got Charlie Haas and Rico getting a push.
I think AEW is doing it right by maybe doing 3 to 4 pay per views a month.
I agree to that.
A year.
I'm sorry.
No, quarterly.
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 I think that's the way to do it.
I think that's the way to do it.
You run it on the spring solstice, the summer solstice, the fall solstice, and the winter solstice.
What if,
there you go.
Unless each pay per view different.
Exactly. That's how it should be.
Like back in the '90s, each pay per view. It was a thing, you know. Like you'd go there, you see a different layout to the pay per view. You know, you see like different entrance.
Yes, the stages are generic.
Yeah, and nowadays everything
it all looks like Raw.
Unless you make it different, it's just too much.
I would say even 6 would be really a real strong. So say you had
it's like WCW with Clash.
Let's do let's do WWE right now. So you. Obviously, have Royal Rumble. Right?
January.
You obviously, have WrestleMania. March, April,
SummerSlam, Survivor Series.
So I'm saying 6. Give me like a May, June, Money in the Bank.
Money in the Bank.
Give
June,
me like
August SummerSlam.
August SummerSlam.
And
give me a mid October something.
Not TLC though.
Do Survivor Series then, and then do like an Armageddon.
Or you have another Survivor Series. Survivor Series. Keep it November. But I'm saying like mid. October, like
September,
early
October. Late September, early October.
Yeah,
but not TLC.
Maybe Halloween
Havoc. Hell in a Cell.
Oh, God, no. Not a gimmick pay per view.
Fall Brawl.
Here's what you do.
Money in the Bank.
End of September, Fall Brawl.
There you go. Fall Brawl. You own the rights to it.
Bye.
And hell, if you want to,
I always like
throw in a War Games match. Vince will die eventually. Triple H
and like Garen was saying. Please do away with gimmick pay per views.
Yeah.
OS October. You know what that means.
Hell in a cell.
Come on.
Because
or is Extreme Rules. You know what that means.
Does the feud justify having a Hell in a Cell match there? Well, no. It's a Hell in a Cell match because it's a Hell in a Cell pay-per-view.
Yeah.
That's the thing about Hell in a Cell. It was, back in the day, it was Undertaker's match was a Hell in a Cell match. So you knew, like, once a year, you're probably Hell. Yeah. Generally,
but you knew,
it's gonna be
like, the feud
match.
Had gotten to a point where it needed that.
Yeah.
Yes. Not a random Kane Mankind on Raw right before King of the Ring.
It needed that merit. How are we going to finally settle this? What is going to be
like Triple H Cactus Jack?
What's going to be the blow off?
Triple H Cactus Jack is one of my favorite Hell in a Cell matches of all time.
If
not my favorite.
I think the Street Fight's better.
The Street Fight.
The Street Fight
really
is a Hell of a match too, but...
I think the Street Fight's better. I love that Street
and
Fight.
And another thing...
That might be my favorite Street Fight of all time.
My second point, and I mentioned pay-per-views, and I think there's something to that, is... Number two is, as far as we know, we grew up when we were kids. For the things that we were watching right now, I mean, what do we watch right now in the background all the time?
I ordered this
22 years ago, right?
I think me and, I don't want to spoil the gimmick, but we ordered this at my grandma's house.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's the thing is, they started to peel back the curtain to... kayfabe, they're breaking the kayfabe, right?
Bring more realism into
more realism.
Yes,
I think that ruined it.
We bought into.
I was genuinely
realism, and we bought into the partial fantasy of it all. So it was a happy mixture of Taker and Kane, which. I mean, I'm watching this right now, and I'm fucking digging it.
I was genuinely,
and then we get Austin, who is real as could be, and. We have a happy mixture of both. Anything now seems simulated. Nothing is true. Nothing's genuine. Nothing's like over the top, but you can believe it. Everything is just like blah. And that's my second point. This
everything feels the same because the same writers are writing everything.
Right.
Yes. Nobody's allowed to have their own personalities.
And I'm nobody's themselves.
Yeah.
I'm okay with over the top. And it's going to sound shitty for me to say, but it's kind of like case by case basis. Like, I'm okay with an Inferno match. Like, right. That makes sense.
Between
for some
two.
Reason.
Between these two, it makes
for
sense.
For Taker and
yes.
Kane. That
no,
just makes
that makes
all
sense.
The sense.
Yes, I agree.
But an eye for an eye match for in Ray and Seth?
Oh,
didn't make sense.
I don't
no.
care.
That was so bad.
I just, why does that make sense? It just doesn't.
And Seth and Ray?
Well, you want to
know
why
it
makes sense.
That'd be fine. That's fine as a match.
It's
Seth
a good
and
match.
Ray. It'd be fine.
But the reason why it was an eye for an eye match is because Moxley and Santana had an eye for an eye match.
They're counter-programmed.
And they're counter... And you know what? WWE had the battle through Titan Tower. So AEW does... We're going to...
Stadium Stampede. Football fuckery.
And you know, they're just going back and forth. And I feel like that's another reason. I love AEW, but they did me wrong. They told me they were going to be an alternative. They were going to be more of a sport, more of a wrestling sport program.
With statistics and rating, rankings, man.
And I got slapped in the face.
Put it right, is they're supposed to be an alternative to WWE. Now they're just alternative WWE.
Exactly.
It's the same
that is,
sports entertainment.
And
just with...
I will quote Cornette all day, and you just quoted him perfectly.
With more... honestly, they took a lot of the crap I hate about WWE and turned that up to 11... Yeah. Instead of the stuff that I liked about WWE, turning that up to 11 and getting rid of the corny stuff.
Exactly.
Right.
And they have the little kids doing their gymnastic routines.
Yep. There's about an eighth of that show that's good. You got FTR, and I understand there's
and even
some...
They're getting like,
and there's some parts about them that it's like, yeah...
They're getting treated like crap.
Exactly. Uh-huh. There's some parts about them, and MJF is good. Is
Truck still here? Okay. Well, Maynard just disappeared. Maybe he'll come back from the depths of hell at some point from parts unknown.
He's in an infernal match with Taylor.
Yeah. Oh, maybe that's what happened.
His dick's burning.
Well, with that said, we're going to transition to our top five. Sorry, Maynard, if you come show up.
We still had five today.
We still had
five.
That
was awesome.
For a minute.
But hey, you know what? That was a good shooting topic there, boys.
Hey, one more quick thing on top of all this.
Hey, so cheers, Dave. You brought some good stuff up.
Is none of this will end up being better for a long time. One man has to go away. And that's the common denominator above all of this. Is this guy will live for another 25 years to be 100.
And let me just
like his mom?
Let me add to that. It's not just one company. It's also another billionaire in another company who needs to step back and let other people step in.
The problem is he's letting the wrong people in.
He's
putting Kenny Omega, the Young Bucks,
and Cody
Rhodes in charge.
He's being too much of a fanboy than an owner. And
what?
I feel like
he's reading into Meltzer.
What I told Turner the other day was, I know he would never do this, but this is what they need to do. They need to hire Jim Cornette to run their program because it's one day a week. And listen... You don't have to leave your house, Jim. I don't know if he probably will never hear this, but let me just say this.
Jim Cornette's a listener.
Let me just talk to Jim Cornette like I'm talking to him. You need to accept this billionaire's money. Just take his fucking money, whether you're going to fucking fix this company or not. You need to hire Jim Cornette to go in there and tell, listen, you can't be a fanboy. You got to tell these people, no, what you're doing is wrong.
Would he be allowed to fire executive vice presidents?
I would let him do that because
he would not work there if the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega were there, period.
Can I also put, they should not be executives, they should just be workers. They should just...
Yeah, maybe Cody.
Maybe Cody.
But he's the only one responsible for it.
I would allow because his family knows the business.
He's smart enough.
And he's the only person who's getting over in that company right now because he's putting his matches over. He knows how to put his matches over. And Jim Cornette knows how to lay out matches. He knows how to tell people no. He won't tell people, hey, this is what you want to do. Go out there and do it. No, that's fucking stupid. Luchasaurus. I understand. You went to Harvard. You're 60 million years old. Don't talk like this. Talk like you're 60 fucking million years old and you didn't go to Harvard. Talk like a fucking monster. Don't talk like, I went to
Harvard.
Don't
do moonsaults.
That is so 95 WWF, and I love it.
And
you manage Mantar.
Exactly. Just maybe don't do a promo and put a manager with him. and get rid of Marco Son of Growth, because every promo Marco he does, he gets in there and just stands there and looks like a retard. And he does cut a promo that is dumb, and he'll just be like, "Yeah, Chris Jericho is dumb." What does that have to do with anything, Marco Son of Growth? Yeah. You are dumb. Dino Douche and Marco Son of Growth need to go.
He looks like a child. He looks
like a child. Can I just add? I'm sorry, real quick.
We're just trying to kill time.
I'm not trying to defend, but I'm just
trying to defend.
Tony Khan, he's unlike Vince McMahon in this sense. He will listen to the people he surrounds himself with.
He will listen, but won't tell them no.
Yeah,
but he will make the final decision.
But he won't say no.
And this, Jim Cornette had said, recently on his podcast, he said he had had a discussion with Tony Khan, and then he made Jim sign a non-disclosure agreement.
Yeah.
That
I wonder when that expires, because those usually
it basically just expired, because he kind of revealed a little bit of it. That the only one that is going to write his television, and he told Jim Cornette this, is himself, is Tony.
And it's wrong.
But it's not what's happening, though, clearly.
But the thing is he's the only one who's going to take responsibility for it.
And he hasn't, I feel like. I feel like he hasn't.
How has he not been the only one
taking responsibility for it?
Well, because they've come out on record and said, Cody books the men's single division, Kenny books the women,
but
and the
Tony
books, and book the tag teams. Exactly. And like saying that basically says, well, if there's a shitty girls match, it's Kenny's fault. There's a shitty tag match.
I've never heard Tony Khan. They said, well, it goes through Tony Khan.
It does go through Tony Khan.
But it doesn't.
But there's never been a story. And it would have come out because, quite frankly, these are whiny bitches. But if Tony had said, you want to do this, but you can't, Kenny Omega would have gone on all eating.
Exactly.
He wouldn't let me put Riho in the chain.
And what they've done.
He made me sign Cameron.
Yeah. He put a gun to my head and made me sign
Cameron. Well, that's just how desperate they are for women's wrestlers. And
their women's division.
I like AEW, but I like NXT just as much. The only thing I would put over is their tag teams. They're single stars. That's another discussion. It's another discussion.
That sounds like a preview for the next podcast.
I will say.
And girls.
It's almost like Vince McMahon, but in a better way.
You guys defending AEW?
Sounds like it.
I mean,
Tony will take sole responsibility. If you just go and find it.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing.
Find his podcast. Find what he says. It all filters through him.
Here's the thing, though. Tony Khan, yeah, I'll take responsibility. But here's the thing. You're not taking responsibility because most of your program is shit, and you just allow it to go on. And here's another thing, too. AEW Restricted, their podcast. I love Aubrey Edwards. I think she's one of the best referees in the world.
But oh, she can't get over herself, though.
But the fact that
you did not listen to our stadium stampede then.
But when you
check it out,
go
on
to the podcast, and you talking to your workers, your wrestlers, and they're talking about something, and she says, oh, you know who our boss is. It's okay. He doesn't give a fuck. You know, like, you can do whatever we want here. We can do whatever we want. Tony Khan's our boss. That right there initiates to me that I don't like that. Because literally, all I've seen so far is Tony Khan allowing everything.
He's a giant rubber stamp.
Yeah. He's basically just, go ahead.
He's a pushover.
I'll sign your, pushover is the perfect word.
That's it.
He is a pushover.
And Jericho goes weekly on Saturdays on his own Facebook page.
Yes.
And just answers fan questions.
Exposes every piece of their business.
He splooges while all over.
Now,
the current feud he's in.
If the angle already happened, if you want to talk about something that happened 5-6 months ago, a year ago.
You want to talk about him and Owens.
Like, we're no longer in a feud. We don't hate each other anymore. That's past business. Now
I don't like the fact that he's talking about what he's doing currently. I agree. I don't like it.
I like how...
And you're a Cassidy Mark.
I like Orange Cassidy.
I hate Orange Cassidy personally. I feel like they could do a lot more with him. I like him, but I feel like they're doing wrong with him.
What are they doing wrong with him?
Well, one
besides
he's a comedy his
character. Yeah, I wish this could see me right now.
Within his
here's the thing.
I can see Hayes. You're good.
Here's the thing. One, two, three. That's a joke. He's gonna wind up for a super kick just like every fucking other wrestler who does it. Oh,
then
bullshit. Guess what? I'm going to wind up I'll fucking clothesline that motherfucker and take his goddamn head off.
Well, that's what they do.
No, they need to break his neck and get him out of the fucking business because that's a fucking disgrace.
No, I love this man. No.
That's wrong. Why? You do not. No, that's bullshit.
Oh, that's an Joe, that's exposing Joe, the business.
Joe, it's been exposed
one,
for years.
Two, three. Yeah, it is. But this is exposing
it. Yeah, but the fucking clown show this marks. Is, and then why do they show marks bullshit for
it? Why did, yeah, they pop for it.
Because
they
these
draw
kids,
crowds who pop
what?
For
these
it.
These kids yeah, can go in Hot Topic and buy shows. Their Orange Cassidy okay. shirt. They can buy their Young Buck shirt. Fuck those kids
thing,
and go in Hot
Topic
and buy their
beyond
shit.
Their core audience at all. And what it does, and my problem with this kind of stuff is, yeah, we know what the business is about. But when I'm watching, I don't want to be actively reminded. Like, if I'm watching a play, I'm watching a Broadway play, Romeo and Juliet, or Julius Caesar, I don't want the actors to be like, just so you know, this is a fake sword, exactly. and I'm not really stabbing him right now.
I did not like, poison my wife.
Yeah, like, you don't want them to constantly shout to you, this is not real.
I
want
to go right now to the best thing right now in wrestling. Pat McAfee and Adam Cole was the best thing I've seen in a long time.
They worked the people.
Well, and people are like, what is it? I don't know.
Come
that's
on.
What you need.
So
I don't know.
Clearly
just enough work. Just enough doubt to say, I don't know.
Brian Lance literally had
for not,
on his,
not
on his
really a work,
on show,
but it
had people
worked.
Emailing him, asking yeah. if it was real.
Exactly.
I mean,
it's
it
a
good.
It's a work,
good.
But it's a great work.
I agree.
We wrestling fans know it was a work, but
all
watching
you,
it,
but
it was
you know
good.
What?
We know
football,
it was a good work.
Football fans that don't watch wrestling
they don't
are going to be
yeah.
hooked into it.
We liked
people
it
watch
because
Pat
McAfee, we don't see
yeah.
that anymore. We don't see
and
that kind of yeah.
all you
anymore.
Need to know is
it's time for
if
a top five.
People are questioning it. That's all you need.
That's exactly. Yeah.
And that's all right, exactly. So, that's Mike, we got a top five tonight.
Yeah, we're the running way up. Late on time, but that's fine. We have a top five.
Turner,
which
what
is
it? Top five mass wrestlers.
Yes.
In professional wrestling and sports entertainment history, pal.
We starting from five to one.
We're starting, so yep. we go five around, four around. We're going to start. You're in the leadoff
yeah.
spot
it's
here.
Supposed to be Maynard, but he's a jabroni.
Yeah.
Right?
He's disappeared. He's in parts unknown. So number five, kick it off.
I'll go with the Patriot.
Inch of the Del Wills.
I like Del
nice.
Wills, the Patriot. I know he had a short run in WWE, but him and Bret Hart had some pretty decent matches.
The original.
The original Kurt Angle music.
Tag with Bagwell, too.
True.
Yep.
True.
Stars and Stripes.
Stars
yep.
and Stripes.
Yep.
Yeah. New Japan. A lot of New Japan.
I feel like him. I feel like he should have went over on Bret Hart in a pay per view, and then Bret Hart should have just went over on him completely.
And I'm sure Bret Hart probably would agree to it.
But that would have been post screw job, so it wouldn't have worked.
How over was
he was
for like 3 months?
He was over. I don't know how back then if he was over as much as
oh,
he
was.
With
USA Canada, yeah, he was.
I go back and watch. I'm like, man, he's over with me.
They just buried him in like October 97.
Yeah, well, for no reason.
Yeah.
Number five?
But yeah.
Great pick, Aaron. My number five is Ultimo Dragon.
Okay.
Ooh,
right. Here's a guy who...
Here's a guy.
Huge in Mexico, huge in Japan, and finally finds his way in like the Cruiserweight era of Nitro in 96, 97, 98. Just setting the world on fire with matches with Psicosis, Mysterio, who may or may not be in your guys' top five.
Eddie Guerrero.
You know...
Chris Jericho.
Yep.
He's
holding 37 belts on his body.
Yep.
Dude, I grew up loving Ultimo Dragon. He's my number five.
He's great. Dang. You know, I hate to put him this low. Foley, Mankind.
Wow.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I mean, he did have the
list.
Mankind.
Yeah.
Mask.
And technically, I count as a Mankind.
I got him higher on my list.
I'm fine with that.
Spoiler.
That's a great pick, Nate. That's a great pick.
So I'm getting to my number five. I'm going back to the Patriot, Del Wills.
Yeah.
That's my boy.
Too sweet, by the way.
You
got too
sweet.
Yeah.
I mean, he was super over with me. His action figure was my world heavyweight champion.
I mean, I got two of
them,
brother.
Yeah. That's a dope action
figure. I mean,
we didn't record Mike playing with them all last week.
Well, you know, that would have been too long for our podcast.
Right.
Well, then again, this is going to be out in October, so it'll be 2 months.
He was my boy, and they did him wrong. I think it was one of the Raws in Canada. They just beat him down, never gave him a comeback. Yeah. He was getting booed, and that was pretty much it.
Yeah.
It's a guy who could go and was given a chance.
He
for
had a great
short
body.
Time.
Great
he
body,
a great body.
Yeah. Great pill problem.
Yeah. So let's go to number four.
My number four is actually Psicosis.
Okay.
I
that's interesting.
Love me some Psicosis. I just remember him and Rey Mysterio. WCW, Cruiserweight era. It's good, man.
And that's some of the best stuff.
The spiked horn mask and just the long hair.
And that's something we can always harken back to is something, you know, when WWF tried to match that with a light heavyweight, it was just it is not a competition.
Even later when they had a lot of the same people and did a cruiserweight division, it just never clicked like it did.
And WWF. It's just for some reason, like, it's not like the Nitro, like Bischoff and all of them. There was no story to it.
They just were like, go do your thing.
Here's 45 minutes of 2 hours. Kick ass.
That's the thing, too. And they did. Nitro, I was a WCW guy until Hogan became NWO because I was a Hogan mark. And then I started watching WWF. But I would always watch the Cruiserweights. My guy was Rey Mysterio. And then I would watch him in Psychosis, him in Juventud, him in La Parka. It's just Conan. But
You wore a mask for a second.
Dean Malenko in the Cruiserweight, too. You know, exactly. I mean, it was their Cruiserweight division, I feel like, was what carried WCW.
All right, Turner. It's your
fault. I hate to be a repeater, but I got Patriot too because
he's in my boys' stable, and we will touch upon that in a later episode. But
not saying I stole that gimmick from a different podcast, but I did.
But it's fine. Del Wilkes, you know, there's nothing more I can say Ireland. Besides go back and watch the summer '97 until he got ran out, fizzled out.
Yep.
Great angles.
He got neutered.
Exactly, and I just love the guy, Del Wilkes. Yeah.
I think anybody with Brett would be a good
match.
So.
I love
Dow. Gore. No Yab, no Masquerade.
Oh, okay. I mean, my thing is, and I'll say there's going to be a lot of like legendary luchadors I don't have, just because I didn't watch them enough.
Yes.
I've only seen a very little bit of Mil
Just
Masquerade,
the aura and the lore. Yeah. Everybody knows about the lore and the aura.
He's so over that he jumped out of the Rumble.
He's still, I mean, him and Curtis Axel.
I think in this room, our biggest Mil Masquerade memories are the Rumble. Was it 97?
97 and then Foley and
Cactus Jack Clash match.
Yeah.
92?
90.
90? 90. 90. Yep.
Yeah.
The original.
San Antonio, I think? It was in Texas for sure.
Yeah, it's probably San Antonio. Corpus Christi.
Maybe.
Corpus Christi. Foley still got more over than fucking Mill on that day.
So number four, this might be a little low for some of you with this guy. He's a sure first ballot Hall of Famer if you have the equivalent of that in wrestling. But Kane. Glenn Jacobs.
Yes.
Actually, just in the ring right now in Unforgiven
98. Oh, yeah.
He hasn't
put the sleeve on yet.
Yeah, but there's a time.
Here comes. There it is. Oh,
yeah, there's the sleeve.
Kane is literally on fire. That's why he's number four on my list.
Yep, there's the sleeve.
Yep. But, I mean.
Oh, no, the full sleeve was at First Blood.
This is a guy who did a lot with very little. I mean, Kane didn't talk for a long time. I mean, he had Paul Bearer.
A year and a half after this. Too.
Yeah, and then what he did, he had the voice nebulizer. Well, you know, that thing. I mean, but he took
this. I still remember that Raw when he talked.
From late 97 to mid-2003, I mean, this was a character that had a gigantic evolution. And from a guy who had been given a lot of really crappy gimmicks.
Fake Diesel.
You know, the Christmas Creature. Isaac Yankum, Fake Diesel, and, you know,
Corporate
considered Kane. One of the nicest guys in wrestling. Kane. So, Kane, my number four.
It's a good pick.
Let's move to threes.
My number three was actually Mankind.
Okay.
Oh, I think, dude, Mick Foley just takes the best bump in the world. He's the best bump taker, so that's why he's my number three.
He will always give up his body for a cheap pop.
Yeah.
And that's
right here in,
that's commendable.
Right here in where?
Minot, North Dakota. Michigan.
It would either been him or Vader as my number three, but I went with Mick because his bump taking is just phenomenal. And I only like Vader against Stan Hansen, really.
My number three was Kane. I'm kind of pissed you said it before I did, but that's a gimmick where, you know, he debuts in October 97, and who gave that like 20 years worth of legs?
Yeah.
Plus.
Yeah.
Even if he fizzled it out 5 years later and then just found himself outside of the business, that would have been fucking Hall of Fame worthy in itself because of the storyline with Paul.
Didn't Russo want to blow it off in like February?
He wanted to blow it off in like November.
Cornette said nay. Cornette said nay, but you know, kudos to like when McMahon had like his finger on the pulse and like had like three or four guys surrounding him, booking the territory, so to speak.
Cornette, Pritchard,
Pat Patterson.
Say what you want about Pritchard. Yeah, he's a yes man. He definitely is a yes man. He gets what Vince wants.
He knows how to
WWE.
He knows how to take Vince's
what
ass.
Vince wants.
Shine it up real nice, turn that some bitch sideways, and stick it straight up Bruce Pritchard's own ass.
And I will say, to
about
add,
Nick Gall was shooting on him though.
I, as a kid growing up, I was deathly afraid of Kane.
Yeah,
deathly
yes.
afraid
he had
of Kane.
An aura.
Like, which
very
I tuned
few
in.
People can do.
I tuned in every Monday to be scared.
And when he his like if somebody's in the ring, like one of your favorite mid carders, and all of a sudden the lights go out, that music hits, you're like,
oh,
holy shit.
I still remember JR to this day saying, oh, Bulldog had a blackout. Oregon. Oh, no. Yeah, because that thing was supposed to be Bulldog Dude Love.
So,
speaking of
you're
Kane.
Number three.
Kane.
Wow.
What more to say about Kane? Unfortunately, I'm going to do another repeat here, but a little higher on my personal list, Ultimo Dragon.
Yes.
I mean, to me, one of the better characters in that WCW cruiserweight division.
I think he was the smoothest of them all.
And my personal memory is WCW NWO Revenge for the Nintendo 64.
Yes.
Me, Ultimo Dragon was my guy in that game.
Yes.
You'd get him and lock him in that Dragon Sleeper.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. I love that game to this day.
10-3-2-1 in the blitz. I love that.
How about a future top five of top five wrestling video games?
We'll get there. Number two?
I went with Juventud Guerrero.
Okay.
Oh, Hoopy.
Yeah.
Because
the
Mexicals
are
represented on this
He
list.
Definitely had the mask before, you know, losing. I can't remember who he lost to.
Jericho.
Jericho. It was Jericho. That's
they
right.
had mentioned it in the Rock promo.
Yeah. And it was he's just Juventud
Some
Guerrero.
Guy named Hoovy?
I think he's one of the most underrated wrestlers of all time. I feel like he should have had a better career. I feel like
he had personal issues, I think, than
I
Alvin
think
Mack.
That's where, yeah, exactly. I feel like him and Rey Mysterio should have had the same career path. I feel like he
can't
was just as good as
that.
Rey, if not better.
Yeah. Turner.
My number two is the man they call Vader.
Okay.
Not so much in this WWF run, although that should have been much more than what it was. Hey, Vader, I know you're passed away, but you're not a fat piece of shit.
No.
And we do love you dearly.
We didn't want to bury you in our top five tough guys.
We do love you immensely. But taking into account his new Japan, he was over like Rover in Japan.
Yes.
Had a huge following in WCW, worked alongside Harley. Worked with Sting and Flair and Hogan.
Yep.
Big Bubba, like.
Vader Sting was great.
I mean, then he had a kind of a start over with WWF, which is, it's gonna happen. Like that's the MO for WWF. Like,
well,
he never had a fair shake.
Sean fucked him.
Sean
fucked him.
Yeah, for sure. He neutered him, for sure.
They had a pay-per-view named after him, and
he was never even on it.
And he should have been. Hey, I feel like Vader should have been a world champion
but,
for that pay-per-view.
You know, all that being said, like, he is a top five big man.
Yeah.
For his,
he's top five overall.
As far as strength and agility and endurance and just, you know, he knows how to work a crowd, man, for sure. Leon White is so underrated, in my opinion. And I love and miss that guy.
Rest in peace.
Leon White, Big Van Vader.
Nate, number two.
Vader.
You know what? When it comes to me, number two, it's time! It's time! It's Vader! Time!
Corey, guitar now.
One thing you didn't mention, because everything Turner said, I'm going to co-sign. But one of my all-time favorite matches, Starrcade 93.
Yes.
Yeah. Flair Vader.
Yeah,
that was good.
Yeah.
That was a Flair retirement, wasn't it?
It was. And it was a teased retirement, basically. And the big thing with it was Flair, especially at that point in his career, had very few shining moments as a babyface. And that made Flair such a sympathetic babyface. You know, Vader was just this monster heel that could just... You know, Flair was aging even then.
Right.
And, like, that was such a great story. The way that played out, Flair going over, it was fantastic.
The show was in Charlotte, wasn't it?
Yes. Yes, of course. I mean, have that.
Flair Country.
I mean, it was great. Right in the middle of Flair Country. So, Vader, RIP. Before we go to number ones, I want us to do some
honorable mentions.
Because there's two big ones I had on my list that I said I left out, two really big ones. But let's go ahead. Do you want to start off, or do you want me to give you a little bit of time?
Give me a little bit of time.
So two big ones I left off. I left off Mick Foley. And it's no personal slight to Mick Foley. by pure talent, he should be in this list, period.
Right.
To me, it was just such a small portion of his career was under a mask. So that's why I didn't put him in.
Right.
Because even when he was commissioner in 2000,
yeah.
I can't argue with that.
Yeah. I mean, he had his whole Cactus Jack run pre-Fed. Then he had a little Mankind run. And then he did Dude Love and Cactus in the Fed. So a lot of that. And another big one I didn't put on, he is an all-time great wrestler, but I just didn't see a ton of him, Jushin Thunder Liger. He's a guy I didn't put on my list. Well, I know he's a great wrestler, just because I personally have not seen a ton of him.
Right.
So. And I thought the same.
Yeah.
I was contemplating whether putting him in. But...
Him in, like, Tiger Mask. I don't
know. Yeah, Tiger Mask.
Yeah, Tiger. Black Tiger with Eddie. So,
yeah.
For me, like...
Skippin' Hayes.
I would have... Blue Blazer, just because. Just because he was on. He was.
Owen ends up on every list we do.
Just because of that.
Is that the honorable at least?
I thought Blue Blazer, honestly, because it's Owen. Yeah. Why not?
We love you, Owen.
We love you.
And of course, Vader, Kane, they were also on my honorable mentions. But Blue Blazer was. I almost put him at number five, but he's an honorable mention.
That's a good call.
For me. These are some names that I did not watch growing up, but deserves to be mentioned in this conversation is like Dick Beyer.
Okay.
Mr. Wrestling 1 and 2.
Yes.
Tim Woods.
Tim Woods.
Cuban Assassins.
Right. Yeah. What, Jody Hamilton was one, I believe.
Jody Hamilton's an assassin.
Who else do I saw? El Santo.
Yes.
Blue Demon. Like.
Yeah.
Mil Máscaras.
No, yeah.
The Mexican lore.
Like, I don't understand like the full gravity of all that. But I know they have such a huge historical value to professional wrestling.
They have
I can't
a huge
deny.
Significance in the books of wrestling.
Even a guy who didn't do well over here, but Mystico, who became Sin Cara, won. In Mexico, he was a huge deal. Over here, it didn't translate to WWE, but...
So I'd be I'd be remiss if I didn't mention those names.
One big one I forgot to mention, Mr. America.
I mean,
Mr. America had such a great run.
No. Scorpion?
Midnight Rider?
Black Scorpion? Black Scorpion, yes. Yeah. Can you imagine a Black Scorpion against Mr. America?
Never seen, I mean, WrestleMania 8.
Could you imagine?
That should have been our match.
Could you imagine?
Black Scorpion versus Mr. America.
Could you imagine that?
Didn't that happen at Bastion Beach 94?
I don't think so.
I don't think it happened.
Oh, that was Hogan Flair, my bad.
Yeah.
That was Hogan Flair, my bad.
You got any others to throw in, or...
Thunder Liger, okay. Tiger Mask, yes. Just, we haven't seen him, but also, nobody mentioned him, but Pegasus Kid.
I don't know who you're talking about.
Steve Richards.
Okay, I don't think he ever wrestled, so.
But no, like, with, you know, Name Redacted and Eddie under the mask and everything, and even Jericho under the mask and everything in Japan.
We said him for a minute, but Conan was under hood for a while.
Right.
Max Moon, too.
Yeah, so Paul Diamond.
Paul Diamond. Number one, I don't think this is going to be a major surprise from anybody, but Hayes start us off.
Yeah, I think everybody's going to pick Rey Mysterio. That's mine. 03 to 06. I stopped watching wrestling really from like 05. I just got out of it, but I'll say 03 to 06. Rey Mysterio was my guy. Even in 96 when he was in WCW up until once they took the mask off him, I was a huge Rey Mysterio mark. He was probably my favorite wrestler. And then I just said... You know, they took the mask off.
It killed his lore.
Yeah, and then when he came to WWE, I was like,
with the mask on.
Yeah, I got back into it. I was like, this is my favorite wrestler. My favorite wrestlers of all time are Bret Hart, Chris Benoit. Reverse that: Chris Benoit, Bret Hart, then Stone Cold. But Rey Mysterio is number four, and you can honestly put him possibly number three with over Stone Cold.
Yeah. Ooh, that's a solid top five list. Ooh. That's a solid list.
That's one we have not done yet. Is just our top five overall favorites, you know, but
number five, I might put Sean, honestly.
Yeah. We'll save that for next episode. Exactly. Then.
So go ahead.
You took it from me. It's definitely Rey Mysterio Jr. As a young, impressionable kid, being 7 years old, watching a 96 Nitro, knowing what you'd get in that first hour, it was just like TNA, total nonstop action, right? I mean, you get...
Yeah.
Mysterio against Ultimate Dragon, Psicosis, Conan, Malenko, Jericho.
It's division, whatever that means.
Yeah. Right.
It's exciting.
It's exciting. Like,
it means no limits.
Like, I knew as a young child that he ain't going to beat Hogan or Savage and all that. Or
Kevin Nash, which he did.
Or Hall. But,
or Bam Bam.
But I knew enough to know, like, this is here to excite me. And
pop the crowd.
And he spawned, like, generations upon generations
of wrestlers who unfortunately kind of like
They try to be Rey Mysterio.
But they don't sell anymore. Like, that's what we see now in, like, 2020 WWE and AEW. Like, that's, like, a pretty much, like, a direct correlation from Rey Mysterio in the way he works. Not sell, but
I would say, works, like, most modern wrestlers try to be a mix of Rey Mysterio and Shawn Michaels, and they can't do it.
Exactly.
They can't do it, yeah.
Yeah.
So.
But, and he put on a hood, so I can't, I mean, I love Rey, for sure.
Turner. I mean, not Turner. Nate, what you got?
Oh, I'll go right
back. Turner, keep talking.
Luchasaur. No, not. No, it's Rey Mysterio.
Dino douche.
Yeah. It's Rey Mysterio. The one flaw is he should have got shit on Mexico for putting the hood back on when he came back to the Fed.
Yeah. Yep.
Well,
if it was true Mexican lore and you put the hood back on, he should have got shit on Mexico for life.
But once again, I think the crap that happens in America, they take it as a... The American wrestling's kind of a joke.
Yeah, no, it's...
So, it's not... If you've done that in AAA...
Japan, number one, serious. CMLL. Mexico, number two. Yeah.
So...
But, yeah, Rey Mysterio is number one.
I mean, my number one, definitely probably the littlest guy on the list.
Pete Dunne.
El Torito. Max Mini.
I was going to say, Pete Dunne wasn't her mask, was he?
I thought maybe you were going to go Guido, but all right.
I do love AEW, so I got to go to AEW, and so it's Luchasaurus. It's my number one.
Oh, Dino Douche?
Yeah. you know, it's...
Old Dino Douche.
It's Rey Mysterio Jr.
Yeah.
Too
sweet for a consensus number one right there, boys.
I mean, it is... Sweet. I will say... If I were only judging by his WWE career, I would not have Rey Mysterio here. And true. That's...
And he had a great career.
It sucks because I am not a huge fan of his WWE run, period. Even his early run, he had some stuff that was great. I loved his interactions with Eddie, even when the booking got crazy.
With Dominic and all
but
that.
But then they did the thing with Eddie's death, and then Rey got the monster push because of that.
I thought him and Batista was pretty good.
And him and Batista had some good, you know, stuff, no, but...
The Edge-Rey tag
to me, it never clicked in the Fed for me, like, 96, 97, 98, Rey Mysterio. I mean, he had the match with Eddie Guerrero. 97 Halloween Havoc.
Best WCW match of all time.
Possibly. He had the 96 match on Nitro with Dean Malenko, which was one of the first NWO, post-NWO.
The very first.
It was the very first. Okay, the very first match after Bash at the Beach 96. Rey Mysterio and Dean Malenko. That was a hell of a match.
It was on one of your top fives.
It was. It was on, I think, my top five, like, not five-star matches that I would consider
best
five.
Yes, it was. Yes.
I mean, that match... To me, both of those guys, Dean Malenko and Rey Mysterio, were lifted into like my personal echelon of great wrestlers because of that match. I mean, when I was a kid at that time, I leaned WCW really until Austin took off because of guys like Dean Malenko and Rey Mysterio and Ultimo Dragon and Chris Jericho, even though he now embarrasses me. But
those were
back
the guys
then,
that kept me there. If those, Hogan. Yeah. Switched to NWO. I was like, I'll watch
and I actually
guys.
Loved, I ate up the NWO stuff, but the NWO stuff would not
talk
have,
about being bloated.
It would not have had the impact it did because their matches were shit. But you had the great matches, at least the high action matches, and then you had like the story with the NWO.
Yep.
The underneath card kept you in for the whole show.
Yeah.
And what drew you in was Rey Mysterio and Eddie. Rey and Jericho, Rey and Psychosis.
And Malenko and Dragon and all these great guys and
then you watch the fuckery in the last hour of Nitro.
So I think we wrapped it up there pretty well. And
fuck you, Maynard.
Fuck you, Maynard. Yeah, wherever he went. I
think his truck's still here.
Maybe
but
we'll go to Unsolved Mysteries. he might be
is
gone.
Is that what's next?
Unsolved Mysteries. I think he's
top
on Netflix.
Five Unsolved Mysteries of Wrestling. Let's go.
Jay Maynard, top five.
Maynard right disappearing is already on Netflix.
So. All right. So until next week, we are out of here.
Stay tuned for Silk Stockings.
You got a
catchy outro?
Cheboygan.
All right, Nate, do your thing.
See ya.